When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It's Thought Leader Thursday. Don Lloyd is with us this morning for a conversation about how all of this is impacting the currency markets and world markets. Don is an SVP and manager of capital markets, the foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Steve, good morning. I hope your summer's been well.
It's going very well. I have to admit, though, I'm looking forward to fall. Fall is one of my favorite times of year. So
yep, bring it on. That's what I say. The markets and the world markets just keep, they don't care if it's summer, winter, fall. It doesn't matter. They just keep marching on.
Yeah, and there's so much to talk about this morning. I don't even know where to begin. Maybe with a little bit of what's happening in the headlines over the last couple of days. We got trade deficit numbers. There's NAFTA negotiations. The trade deficit widened for the second month in July. It's now higher, the highest it's been since 2015. What's going on with trade, and how does this work into the discussion we're going to have about NAFTA and China?
Sure. And, you know, enjoy it while it can, because now that the summer's over and Labor Day's behind us, I think now we move into, you know, the new cycle of the midterm elections, and that's going to dominate everything. So things like trade and things like global events, I think, are just going to fade farther and farther into the past for the remainder of this year anyway, as we sit there and go into midterm elections. But certainly, like you said, a lot of information, a lot of events that have been going on throughout the summer. It has not been a quiet summer by any stretch of the imagination. The markets have been quite active. You know, dollars pushing into new highs. Equity markets seem to hit new highs every other day. Interest rates are low. People are working in America. What's not to love? And here we are now with the whole trade. NAFTA is going to be a thing of the past. They'll be teaching it in ancient history before you know it. And you got the United States-Mexico agreement that's coming out. And where do the Canadians fit in that? Who knows?
The president says there is no political necessity to keep Canada in a new trade deal. That Canada would probably disagree with that.
Canada would like to stay close to the United States, but certainly Canada, if there is not a NAFTA agreement or a NAFTA-like agreement, they're okay with that too. Canada's more concerned with tariffs is what they're concerned about. I mean, if you remove NAFTA, our trading with NAFTA, our international trade with NAFTA, is pretty much of a zero-sum game. I mean, you know, we export as much as we import. And you're looking along the lines of about, I don't know, $700 billion of trade that goes on between us. It's a big market. It's a big relationship. But it's pretty balanced when it comes to it. If NAFTA went away, the Canadian GDP would slow down maybe about 0.5%. But if you're talking tariffs, and if we really start to slap tariffs around, and there's a whole plan about what we want and what they want and whatnot, and it really comes down to dairy and whatnot versus auto, and we're using auto as sort of a lever to get what we want to on the whole dairy side. If the tariffs really go into full-fledged attack with Canada, that's going to hurt Canadian GDP by over 1%, about 1.2, 1.3%. So I think the Canadians are okay if there's not a NAFTA agreement that goes there. They'll find their way and they'll still do trade with the United States. But, you know, if the tariffs move forward, that's not going to be a good thing at all for them. And that's what they're trying to avoid, I think.
So how is the trade, not only with China, not only with Canada, but with China, in other countries, how has this been impacting the world stage in terms of the dollar, other world currencies, that sort of thing that you deal with on a daily basis?
Yeah. You know, the international flow and trade imbalances, we've had those for decades. And, you know, the U.S., you know, we're a big importer. We're just a gigantic importer. And that's why we're on such a big trade deficit. At the bottom line, what does it do? It displaces workers. It puts them out of work, you know, because we're basically creating jobs, you know, in countries abroad. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you've got unemployment as low as you have. You know, those excess jobs are being, you know, taken up pretty quickly. What has it done for the markets? Certainly hasn't hurt the United States. If anything, maybe a little bit of a drag when you sit there and say, well, if we sit there and onshore and bring that productivity back into the United States, put people back to work, get them back on the salaries, you know, off they go, and the U.S. economy does even better. Nothing wrong with that, But at 3.9% unemployment with GDP the way it's growing right now, which is, let's face it, you know, this thing isn't jogging along. This economy is just steaming along as far as I'm concerned. You have no inflationary pressures. You've got real low interest rates still, nice yield curve. This is all good news. There's nothing bad about this. The dollar, we talk about the dollar being high, but you know, compared to the euro, dollar's about $1.16 somewhere in there. You know, I've seen it down to 80 some odd cents. You know, this is not, an out of control strong dollar. People are working. Trade imbalance isn't really affecting us all that much, other than maybe we can squeeze a little bit more and have more upside if we sit there and onboard and bring some businesses back here to the United States, which is exactly what this administration is trying to do.
So when you hear analysts say there is a risk premium built into the dollar right now, what is that? How would you translate that?
Risk premium built into the dollar right now. Man, I'm not even sure what that means, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I mean, when you've been doing this for 30 some odd years like I have, and you've seen the ranges and the volatility in the markets that I've seen in the foreign exchange markets and the dollar, we are in very quiet, sustained times. Now, the dollar is trending stronger. But what does a risk premium mean? I mean, other than we always have the issue of flight to quality, flight to safety. And you do see that every once in a while, and that flows as world countries convert and assets move from foreign countries back into the United States to go into treasuries or whatnot. It does flow through the foreign exchange markets, and there's a selling of foreign currency, a buying of dollars to sit there and buy those treasuries as they flow in, and that's going to create stronger U.S. dollar. But it's not out of control. So a risk premium, we're just in just the normal flows of what's going on, and the trade imbalance, which is the smallest part of GDP, impacts us, but it's just on the margin. I mean, the big things are the consumer spending, and the consumer's leading this whole recovery. You've got government spending, which recession, expansion, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't change all that much. But the trade imbalance is sort of very much the margin, and it's sort of the fine-tuned tweaking here and there. But it can create upside for us as we sit there and bring businesses back onshore. You know, it just creates more job opportunities and, you know, higher tax revenues.
How are you on interest rates going higher moving forward? Are you on the dovish or hawkish side?
Interest rates should move higher. The yield curve should steepen, but it's a matter of timing. And, you know, today's news cycle is very interesting. You know, gee, interest rates are going up. The Fed's tightening. How many raises have we had this year? How many raises have we had since the tightening began? Gee whiz, let's put the yield curve up 400 basis points or five. No, it's going to steepen. The yield curve is going to rise and shift higher as a whole. But we're talking years. It's taken us years, decades to get as low as we have. It's going to take us years for this yield curve to shift and to move. So the market initially talks about interest rates going up and gets way ahead of itself. Slow it down, settle it down. If you really look back and take a look over the last 30 years, interest rates have moved lower over the last 30 years. We've had little spikes of where they've pushed up a little bit. But to be perfectly honest, in the last 30 years, interest rates have done nothing but have come down. And now we've made this turn, and we're set and poised for interest rates to start to move up. And when you sit there and you look at 3.9% unemployment and, you know, the wage growth and all this stuff, the stage is set for higher rates and inflation and whatnot, or moderate inflation. But not yet. It's going to take years for that to sit there and all of those, the financial assets to reallocate themselves and move out of these bond portfolios that have been doing so well over the last 30 years as interest rates have moved lower.
How do you, I know things could be worse. Look at Turkey and Venezuela. Turkey inflation has hit 18%. How do these two countries, watching them, how does that fit into the grand scheme of what we need to be concerned about?
Yeah, Turkey and Venezuela, how can America be doing so well and the parts of the world are burning? And Turkey and Venezuela are two very good examples for very different reasons. Turkey always seems to have this problem of inflationary concerns and assets moving out. And if you go back to the 1970s, you sit there and you see a depreciation of the Turkish lira. you know, to the point where in the early 2000s, they said, let's just take six zeros on the back of this currency and just drop off six zeros. And we're going to call it the new lira. So one new lira is worth a million Turkish lira. And that's a devaluation is what happens. Never good. Turkey's facing the same thing right now, 39% inflation rate. And the way to combat that is to raise rates. But you've got a president that's in there that's not doing it. He's basically taking control of the whole thing. And he's saying, nope, we're not going to sit there and raise rates and sit there and mop up excess liquidity and all of this availability of funds out here. You know, I'm going to sit there and keep that economic growth going. And we're going to look for other ways. And the market doesn't like it. And the market's not going to like it. And that currency is going to continue to devalue, you know, to the point of let's lop off some more zeros when the time comes. And let's call it a new lira. I see no economic future whatsoever in Turkey right now. Venezuela, you know, what can I say about that? I mean, my gosh, when you sit there and you have an economy based on oil revenues and then oil collapses, you know, and all of a sudden all of their revenues are gone. And it creates unemployment, it creates a disassociation with your society to the point where now they can't be fed. And you have, you know, 2 million people that have fled from Venezuela and other countries because they can't eat. They can't eat. And what's the government doing? You know, absolutely nothing other than amassing more power, staying in control, and the corruption. Mm-hmm. You know, totally different reason than Turkey, you know, which is more of a, you know, an economic-based type thing, whereas the other is just pure out-and-out, you know, scandal.
Right.
You know, how's the world reacting to either one of those? You know, now, what does that mean for the markets? When you say, look at Turkey, how is that going to impact the European Union? That's what everybody's concerned about, and that's what everybody's focusing on the market, which, again, is good for the dollar. It's good for U.S. investments as this pool of money looks, you know, for some return for some amount of risk. Venezuela, South America, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that
is. Does the world have a responsibility to get involved in Venezuela to help?
Personally, I think absolutely we do. I mean, you know, if we can't sit there and look at people, families, no different from the families we have sitting around this table here that can't feed themselves, that are hungry to the point where they're fleeing their country, you know, where is the humanity? Where is the world? You know, where is the world to sit there and help out to make sure, and funds are coming in. Problem, they're just getting hijacked, you know, and they're sitting there going off to, you know, basically a dictator who is in place, and he's got the military in his cabinet. So you can't really change things on a forceful nature because he owns the power that be. And, you know, the people are so disheartened that what are they doing? They're fleeing the country. You know, where's the humanitarianism as far as I'm concerned? Yeah, I would love to see that on headlines pages for what we're doing around that.
Don, always good chatting with you. Leave us on an optimistic tone here.
Buy America. I don't care if it's equities, bond market, the dollar, you know, America is moving in, I think, to another 10 years of nothing, financial markets, nothing but upside. I think we're going to look at this and your 401ks are going to be smiling year after year after year for the next 10 years.
All right, Don, we'll see you next time.
Great, thank you.
Don Lloyd is of Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives over at Associated Bank, and he's our Associated Bank thought leader this morning. Remember, you can hear our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page, and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and you can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. See more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.